Well, good evening. Good evening. Okay. Very good. I am delighted to be here. Wow. And I see some other people who are delighted to be here, too. I did not ride the bus to Southwide. I needed to get there early, so Becky and I left Sunday night after church, drove up to Savannah, and spent the night, and then drove on into Winston-Salem on Monday morning. Got there early enough to get things arranged and get everything taken care of that needed to be cared for there, and see to it that everything was in order. And then we had a great time. And I led singing this week. I sang my voice out. But we had a good time, and Becky played her fingers off, and it was a good time. Now I'm just going to tell you, the bus, you know how those old buses are. You know how they are. And that one shut down. It shut down. Yeah. It would not go through that traffic in Jacksonville. They just had to stop. It was a dead stop traffic in Jacksonville. And nothing wrong with the bus. But they got in, I think at 6:30, wasn't it? 6:35, something like that. I see Don's here, and some others here. I see, who is that? Alec Marinchenko, he's back there. And I know there's some others of the young people around. But Aaron and Mark, Jenny, Hope, they've all gone on home, as well as most of the other people that were on the bus have gone on home. I told them, I said, just go on. And I didn't think they were going to get here, because it was just that kind of traffic. It was bad traffic for us. It was an accident just north of Daytona Beach, and the lanes were blocked, but we finally got through. They opened up one lane, and we got through, but that was a mess. But, you know, that's just how traffic is. But I'm glad you're here tonight, and glad to be here. And so I've never been in a church like this. Whenever Mark's not here, you know, there's somebody to lead singing. And tonight, whenever in the youth department, they have their own piano player, they have their own song leader, and they have somebody who leads the service, and sometimes they have a youth speaker. And that's unusual to be that way, that it's self-contained. Ordinarily, adults do that in the youth department. But what we did tonight, we brought the young people in here, and so since Mark is not here, we just brought the youth song leader in to lead singing here, and we brought the youth piano player in to play the keyboard, since Hope isn't here. And so we'll just take that up a level. And Andrew Orser is going to come lead and singing. Now I want you to sing with him, and I want you to help him. I want you to turn to it in the book and just get right into it and enjoy Andrew as he comes. Lest he forget, I ask you to stand, all right?
All right, turn to 147, How Great Thou Art, 147.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees,
Isn't that good? That's very good. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's not necessary, but that's all right. They didn't do that for me when I was singing. If you need a prayer list, would you raise your hand, let the usher serve you, and get you a prayer list? If you did not get one as you came in, anyone at all? Anyone at all? All right. Okay. Very good. I'll go over it with you very briefly. I want you to pray every day. Now, I hope you have been, but if you haven't been, I want you to now commit to praying every day for Sunday. That Sunday will just be a wonderful time together. It promises to be. Now, how many of you have gotten a letter from me? Raise your hand. How many of you got? I even got a letter from me. And So I hope you'll, now is a good time to talk with people about coming Sunday, because most everybody you've talked to, if they've ever been here, has gotten a letter. And so feel free to go ahead and say, hey, did you get the pastor's letter? Hope you're planning to come, and invite them to come and tell them you're buying lunch, okay? Tell them you're buying lunch, and so that'll be good. And please, and we'll have a special time for prayer of that. Don't let me forget it. At the end of the service tonight, we're going to have a special prayer for Sunday and all the people that are coming in, and the guests that you've invited, the guests that I've invited, and the folks that have promised to be here. So I want us to do that. Of course, for our president, all the government officials, continue to pray for the situation in the House of Representatives right now. Nothing has really changed, and Speaker Boehner is just absolutely determined, anybody but Daniel Webster. That's almost a quote from him. Anybody but Daniel Webster. And so just continue to pray for that. God's in control of that too. Peace in the Middle East, all the things that are going on there. Of course, a lot of people are nervous about going. I think I've got a group of 42 going at the end of November, and it seems like some people ought to be nervous, but I haven't heard a word from anybody about what's going on. Is everything okay? I haven't heard a word from anybody, and so that's good. That's good. And I really am not worried about that. If I didn't know my guide so well, I might be worried about it. But I have great confidence in the Lord, in Menachem also, through the Lord working through him. And do pray for the elections. Anita Boyd, this is really a setback for her because of a seizure and everything. She cannot go for this fourth round of chemo. And once they finish the fourth round of chemo, then they're going in directly into radiation on these tumors. If they can get them down small enough, then they'll do surgery. But it's a difficult time. Naomi's doing somewhat better, and so we pray that that continues. Little Lucas, Johnny Twilliger's, he and his wife, Amy, their little baby boy, 3 pounds, 3 ounces. Is that still about right? Is that still about 3 pounds, 3 ounces? Ah, okay. All right, so he's just growing like a weed. All right. Okay, very good. Continue to pray for him, though. Helene, left the E off the end of her name, but it's Helene Calabro, has surgery for melanoma. They referred her to Mayo. She hasn't been well for a good little while, but has been here very faithfully. But be much in prayer for her. Continue to pray for Peggy. She's still in the hospital. Hosea Bella, taken to ER last week. Lesions on the liver from pancreatic cancer and all those things. Lisa still, continue to remember Lisa and all the family there. Tom Waters is in the hospital, back home now. Sharon is still in the hospital, Sharon Crawford. And just that heart difficulty. Stan Green's daughter you have there, Kathleen LaFontaine, is battling cancer. Deborah Gross's mom, surgery for kidney tumor. Conrad Westbrook, I don't know whether Conrad's here tonight, it's all the kids, but Conrad's dad is just not well at all and battling cancer. Seems to be in the final stages. Be much in prayer for him, unless it's something has changed recently. He has never trusted Christ as his Savior. And so be much in prayer for him. And Paul Karpenko had sinus surgery today. I did not know that. Came by their house on the way here and thought about them, but did not know he had had that surgery until right now when I saw it on the list. Please continue to remember all these down here at the bottom that are on our extended list there. The Brian Johnson family on the back, missionaries in Brazil, if you will remember them in prayer. The Eric Johnson family in the Dominican Republic, both of these folks just doing marvelous jobs in their places of service, and we thank God for them. These folks that are in the assisted living, and then the ones that we remember who have relatives in armed forces and serving, and those that are there serving, we hope you'll pray for them. Last Thursday evening, our benevolent offering was $389, and that's good. And that you'd be amazed at how much that helps. Just that every once in a while, when you do that, every once in a while, there's some people give regularly every Sunday to the benevolent fund. But just that little bit every once in a while we're able to do and help. We can't pay off anybody's house, and we can't make house payments or anything like that, but we're able to help with things, and I thank you for that. And I'm going to ask a gentleman who's here with us tonight. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know he was coming until somebody came up and said, I think it was, Brother Joan and George Coleman, DeBerry Mayor, former DeBerry Mayor. Okay, all right. George brought him up and said, this is one of our missionaries. And I said, Emmanuel, Emmanuel Gungumpo. I want you to come up if you will. Emmanuel, Bella's not with him, the kids are not with him tonight, but came here and trained to serve the Lord and has gone back. God has blessed and prospered this man's ministry, and he's just a special servant of the Lord. I want him to update us a little bit. Now, you remember, he will not know these people on this list, but he'll pray for our service. But as he prays, you pray for the folks on the list, okay? You do that as he prays in a moment. I want you to take a few minutes, though, and give us an update on what's going on and tell us how we can pray for you. All right? Yes. Okay, man.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening. I'm Emmanuel Gungumpo. one of your missionaries to Togo, West Africa. First of all, I would like to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity to share what is going on with our ministry. And I would like also to thank you for your prayers and your support. The Lord has been doing some wonders. And as the Bible says, without him, we can do nothing. It's because of the Lord that we are able to do what we are doing. And last time, I was here with my family 4 years ago. And but this time, I came alone. Actually, I came with my daughter. And our oldest daughter is now in Bible College, Landmark Baptist College. And but my wife and the other children are in Africa. So they are. We have 4 children. So the oldest one is now in college, and the others are with their mom in Africa. So please pray for us as we are, or they are away from me, and I'm away from them. But I know the Lord is with them, and he's with me also. And last time we came, we gave the report. We had 7 churches started. But this time, we have added 5 churches more. So now we have 12 churches started in Togo, West Africa. We also have a Bible Institute. We train men to go on and preach the gospel. And we have 45 men, students in our Bible Institute. Amen. And last year, 11 of them graduated from our Bible Institute. And they are now in the field preaching and starting churches. And we are involved in children and youth ministries. We have a lady ministry. And we are also trying to start more churches. And before I came, we had VBS, and we had 421 children who came to our VBS, and 372 of them received Christ as their Savior. And we are now trying to start a church in a Muslim town. Most of them are Muslims, so we want to start a church over there. Before I came, we went there and witnessed, knocked on doors, and we had 25 people who got saved. Amen. Now, by the end of December, we are trying to go back and to knock on doors again. And then from that point, we would like to start meeting over there. That'll be another church that will be starting. So pray for us. And also, as I'm here, I'm planning to go back to get some Bibles in French. In Togo, they speak French. I always speak French. I don't know if some of you speak French here. Parlez-vous français? Okay. Last time in 2011, I was able to get 1,500 Bibles in French, and I shipped it to Togo. But they are all gone. And I'm trying to get some more, and I have some friends who told me they will be able to get me some Bibles, around 2,500, but pray for us that we'll be able to get the Bibles, and especially the money to be able to ship the Bibles to Togo. And also pray for us as we are trying to start that church. We'll need some found to be able to get a land and start a church in that Muslim town. And so pray for me as I'm here and traveling, that the Lord will continue to be with me. And also by the end of January, I'll go back to Africa. So thank you so much. Again, thank you so much for your support your prayers, and the Lord will continue to recompense you and bless you more. And thank you so much, Pastor.
Lead us in prayer, if you will.
Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come to your house tonight. You said in your word that where two or three are gathered together, you are in their midst. And we believe that you are in our midst tonight. And we thank you also for the privilege of coming before the throne of grace. And we like to commit our leaders. And we pray that the leaders will have the fear of God and will take decisions, every decision they are going to take, that to take it according to your will. Especially, we pray that they will have the fear of God. Also, pray for those who are sick. You continue to be with them. You know you are the great physician, and we pray that your mighty hand will be upon them, and you will heal all of them. But by your will, and everything will be done according to your will. We also pray for the church, the pastor, and all the folks. I pray that your mighty hand will continue to be upon them. And we pray also that you will continue to provide for their needs, everybody. We thank you so much for this opportunity to come before your throne of grace. And we would like to commit everything into your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, again, how much are the Bibles? How much money? How much money American?
The Bibles?
How much? How much does it cost to buy a Bible?
I think it's the $8.
$8. $8. Now, have you raised money on this trip to buy Bibles? You're trying to buy 2,500, is that right?
Actually, they want to give it to me.
They want to give them to you.
But my is to ship it.
Oh, really?
They want to give.
Okay, well, we can't buy any Bibles then. Somebody's already given them to him. But we'll take an offering for you after a while. And thank you for being here. It's now I want you to know this is New Testament. Paul and Silas, when they went out, they went around to the churches. They came back and they reported on their missionary trip. And they reported at Antioch. They even went up to Jerusalem and reported and got some instructions from the churches. And that's a good thing. That's such a good thing. And Emmanuel, thank you for coming. We have cards down here tonight to Lisa Still. If you would like to write to Lisa and just assure her of your prayers in this time of her sorrow and her sister passing away. And that funeral was last Friday night. And then Paul Carpinko, home with his surgery. If you would write him a note, these cards are down here, already addressed, already stamped. All you have to do is just write a note and drop them in the mail, and they'll receive them, and that'll be good. Brother Andrew, if you will, come back and lead us in singing again. And I think it'd be good for you to stand again, okay?
737. 737, like a river glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it holy past.
kind of apologizing to me for the way he was dressed, because he didn't anticipate doing this tonight. But I see you got on a new pair of Nikes, and so that kind of, you know, that's good foundation. That's a good foundation that gets you going. That gets you going. Now, I must tell you something also. I did not pick out those songs. These are the songs that he had picked out to sing in youth group tonight. You know, if I'm leading singing to the youth, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dumb it down to their level, what I think is their level. I think I've gotten an education tonight. I think I've been rebuked a little bit. And I'm glad to know that. I am glad to know that. Well, I'm going to ask him to lead fellowship song also. Do we have visitors with us? We've got a lot of visitors in the building, in this auditorium, because of the young people being in here. But any folks here for the first time, anybody here for the first time, raise your hand and let us meet you. Anyone? Anyone at all here for the first time? Well, I guess not. Okay, there's a name I love to hear. You can put your book up. You know that one. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come lead us in a verse, and then we'll shake hands and fellowship a little bit.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like you.
Instruments will play. Greet those around you. There's still a couple of cards down here at the front if you'd like to come get this and write to these folks. Seated, and ushers, come forward if you will. Well, in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, if you can be here in the morning at 7:30 and clean and get going on this building inside, that would be great. Also, cutting grass, getting everything spick and span, whatever that, spick and span, that used to be a washing thing, didn't it? Used it to clean or something, didn't it? Spick and span. And just get it looking good inside and out. We got company coming. We do. We have company coming. We got to get everything looking good. And we got piles of mulch out here, pallets of mulch to put out. That's just work. There's no other way to talk about that except work. And we need folks to do that. On this Saturday, put up, the tent will be up, but we need to put the chairs out. I believe Brother Mark announced that it would start at 9 o'clock, and we'll have something to eat. We'll have coffee and some biscuits and Chick-fil-A biscuits or something like that. I don't know what they're having this year, but they do that a lot because Jamie, who owns the Chick-fil-A, is a good friend of ours and takes good care of us and does good things when it comes to times like that. And so we're thankful for that. And I hope you'll be here. How many of you say, I'm going to do my best to be there either tomorrow or Saturday, or both. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. All over. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's good. That's so good. There's still room for more. There's still room for more. And those that work tomorrow will leave us a list of everything that needs to be done on Saturday. And along with putting up chairs and tables and clearing out the room next door, the activity building, and probably the children's building also, and we'll put the kids out in the tent on Sunday. And it'll just be a good time around here. 19 years. I'm so excited. Then in a couple of weeks after that, Voices of Victory are going to Texas. I told Richard Wallace this week, I said, you know, you're just twice as old as we are. We're just half your age. And that's kind of like I am your age. You know, I told him, I said, I'm just half your age. And he didn't buy into that at all. But they're celebrating 38 on the first Sunday of November. And we're celebrating 19 this year. And it's been good years. I won't take a long time, but I'll take a little while to address the church in the afternoon after we eat. Just a little bit of time about the church and my evaluation of the church and where we are. And I am very pleased to say this much tonight. We're healthy. We're healthy. And that's good. That's good. Now, I have here a note. I want you to pray for Tammy Sukup. A lot of you know Tammy. And Tammy generally sits, well, she just sits everywhere. She sits here sometimes, over here sometimes, over here sometimes. But Tammy, her father, Terry Stein, is at the ER at Fish right now. It seems that he's had a mini stroke or some TIAs or whatever. And so be much in prayer for him, if you will. His name is Terry Stein, and that's Tammy Sukup's dad. And be much in prayer. And pray. Let's pray. Pray for a great day. Pray for a great day on Sunday. Now we're going to give the offering tonight to Brother Emmanuel. And whatever you give, however much you give, whatever you give is going to go right to him. We're going to give it to him. And so I hope you'll feel free to give and give liberally to this wonderful man. I was thinking, as he was speaking, I was thinking, what a wonderful thing it's going to be in heaven when we hear what God's done all over this world. Not just in this age, but in all ages of the world, what God has done. It's just going to be a marvelous thing. And there's not going to be any time limits. I mean, it's just going to be eternity. And nobody's going to get eager to go home. And nobody's going to have a sore throat. And you have to put up with listening to somebody can't talk very well. It's not going to be any of that. It's just going to be a good time. We used to sing an old song, when all of God's children get home. When all of God's children get home, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Father, I thank you for Emmanuel. I ask your blessing upon his dear wife and the children. They're in the Ivory Coast, Lord. I pray that you'll be in Togo, Lord. I pray that you'll be with them in a very special way tonight. And Father, I ask you to bless them, protect them, supply their needs. And I know, Father, they're praying for Emmanuel. And I pray that you will be with him, guard him and guide him, give him a safe trip back home, continue to bless and prosper his ministry. And may what we do tonight in this offering be an encouragement to him. And let him know of our love for him and our love for what he's doing for you in his home country. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? We have Emmanuel here, and all of a sudden at the offering time, your slides appear up there. Does that make you homesick? Oh, my. I want you to know this is a significant work that's being done. And every month we participate in this work through our giving of support to Emmanuel and his family. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so good. That's so good. Well, Brittany Solagi's coming to sing, and with her is Jordan Westbrook. So what we did was we brought the special music that was supposed to be in the youth department. We just brought that into the adult department also. So this is their special tonight. Okay.
Counts the stars one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees a sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He knew who I was when he carried my cross. He knew took the loss. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
All right. Good, 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 good. Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That is a wonderful truth, and at the same time, a frightening thought. He knows my name. Every move that I make, everywhere I am, every moment of the day, he knows all about that. Open your Bible to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now, young people that are in here tonight, here in the auditorium, we have been following a little different pattern of study than you have been, of course, but I have been going through the last few weeks comparisons and contrasts between Christ and the Antichrist. And we finished those last week. We finished those last week. And so tonight, we go back and pick up in the text, in the verse by verse, word by word, going through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we come now to go through looking at just what the text says about this. We left off, I believe, at verse 3. So tonight we pick up in verse 4, talking about the man of sin. The man of sin. Now, the man of sin is the Antichrist. And you hear that term. You hear it in all kinds of contexts, but you hear that term, the Antichrist. And it means that he is against Christ. That's just, he is anti-Christ. His effectiveness is in his being like Christ as much as he can and being against Christ. And in that, to some extent, is a phrase we come to tonight, which is the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. Now in verse 4, it says about that man of sin, he opposeth. And we've looked at this just generally in the comparison between Christ and the Antichrist, who opposeth. That means he opposes God. And he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there is the contrast, the comparison, the back and forth, the against God. Here you have someone who wants to dethrone God, drag him off the throne of the universe, and establish himself in that position. Does it remind you of the Isaiah passage? Of what Lucifer did? Who said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High. He will be lifted up. He's going to lift up himself in the sides of the north. Heaven is always spoken of as the north. And so this is what he's going to do on earth. On earth. The devil wants worship. I must tell you that music is always a part of worship. Therefore, you need to be careful about music. Because there may be music that is not designed to worship God. It's designed to worship the devil. It has him as its object. And so we need to be aware of that. Music is not, and I'm not going to get into this, it's kind of my thing, but I'm not going to get into it, but it is not just music. It conveys a message. Now, I'm not talking about the words. I'm talking about music. Music itself conveys a message. Now, when we look here in the contrast and comparison, we looked at the Antichrist self-exaltation. And here it's no more fully described on earth than in this one verse. He opposeth God, exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that is not double talk. That's not going round and round. Again, that's just expressing who he is, what he desires, what he wants, what he's trying to have. Now, the temple of God he sets in is not the temple of the Holy Spirit now, which is our body. That's not it. That's not it. This is talking about the temple. The temple in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. So if he's going to sit in the temple, showing himself that he is God, and sit there as God, then there's got to be a temple. There's got to be a temple. Now, sometimes whenever we think of the temple, we think of the splendor of what we call the second temple or the third temple. There was a temple erected as Nehemiah came back from the Babylonian captivity. There was Solomon's temple, and then there was that temple there, and then there was Herod's temple that was built, which was the one that Jesus would have been on earth at the time Jesus was on earth. That was there, and that was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus as he came in and absolutely obliterated everything in Jerusalem. So there must be a temple for him to sit in. Now, it need not be an elaborate temple. God was worshipped for many, many, many years in a place that was made with skins of animals and canvas and wood. A very simple place of worship we call the tabernacle. And then David had a desire to build the house for God, the temple, a permanent structure of stone, gold, silver, iron, and brass, and all the tapestry that was therein, and all those things. And Solomon, indeed, did build that temple. But it wasn't always like that. And that temple never lasted very long. And so it does not have to be an elaborate building. It could be something that's built very hastily. It could be something very simple. But I'm going to tell you something. If you see a building built on the Temple Mount where Jews go to worship, whether it be a building of steel and bricks or whatever, if you see a building built where Jews go to worship on the Temple Mount, there's something going on. Now, when will it be built? If it's going to be built, when is it going to be built? Is it going to be built after the believers are caught away? There's much preparation for a fairly elaborate system of worship already, and there's some preparation for a building. There are some materials. You hear about it occasionally. I do not know the validity of all of it. I know we were taken to visit at a man's house one time, and he is a flashpoint in Jerusalem because he is all the time trying to rally people to build the temple. They just simply want to go onto the mount and start building something. They had that opportunity. They had that opportunity in the 76 war, I'm sorry. They had that opportunity, but did not do that. did not do that. Moshe Dayan gave the Temple Mount back to the Muslims, and I don't understand that. And they don't understand that, but there was something involved in that beyond. But I do understand that it was not God's time. And so that did not take place. But if there is that building erected on the Temple Mount, and you see Jews thronging up to the Temple Mount to go into that building and worship, we're going to have to rethink some things. I'm going to have to rethink some things. If I'm still alive and I'm still on earth and I see that happen, I'll have to rethink some things. And I don't mind rethinking some things. If I've missed some things, I don't mind that at all. I just am convinced that God's word is clear. And if I don't understand it properly, that'll be all right. But I believe we'll be gone when that takes place. I don't know, but I believe we will be. Now, in conjunction with that and with that temple worship is going to be the mark of the beast. And there's going to have to be some kind of an alliance that allows something to happen with the Muslims and the mosque that is there and the Dome of the Rock. Alaska Mosque is there that holds 5,000 people. That's different than the Dome of the Rock. It's the Dome of the Rock sits in the center of the Temple Mount, where we believe Solomon's temple was located. Over that rock that we believe is where Abraham offered Isaac, was ready to offer Isaac. And that place where David met Ornan when the plague was in Israel and 70,000 people died in 3 days. And the plague was stopped there. It's basically that place of prophecy and that outcropping of sandstone that goes right up to what we call Mount Calvary. And in that same place, that place where the temple was built and where the veil was rent from top to bottom, and the way into the holiest of all was opened up. It's an amazing thing to think about that some agreement would have to be made. I mean, as of right now, they've pretty well shut down the Temple Mount to everybody except Muslim men 50 years old and older. And then only a certain number at a time. And they hate that. They absolutely hate that. Now, I've only been in the Dome of the Rock one time. But the first time we went to Israel, it irritates me to do this. It's why I don't like visiting mosques in Turkey or other places. I don't like doing that because whenever you go there, you've got to wash your hands. I mean, they make you wash your hands, make you take your shoes off, and all that kind of stuff that you go through to go in that place. And there's nothing in there I want to say. They talk about the beauty of all the mosaics and all the carpets on the floor and everything like that. Not a bit of it looks pretty to me. I don't like any of it. It doesn't hold any attraction to me whatsoever. I see no artistic value in it. I see nothing that attracts me to that. It's just heathenism as far as I'm concerned. And I ought not say this. We're on live stream, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Whenever I go in a place like that, the only thing I want to do is eat bacon and turn a bunch of hogs loose. That's the only thing I want to do. Whatever. Now, whenever we're talking about the man of sin, we're talking about the man of sin. He has a mark. We looked at his number at the end of last week. The number of the Lord Jesus Christ is 888. That's the value of his name. That's the value of the letters in his name. 888, complete, new beginning, resurrection. All of that in 888. The mark of the man of sin is the mark of a man. Man. That's all he is. 666. 666. That's his mark. And lots made about the mark of the beast. Somebody was talking to me this week about this monster drink. And if you Google that thing I have not done this, but I'm told if you Google that monster drink, what do they call it, an energy drink? Is that what it is? Those letters, they say, are on the front that make the M are the marks that represent in Hebrew 666. Now, I don't know about that. And I know this. Drinking that drink doesn't make you an Antichrist worshiper. I do know that. And some people worry about, they went to the hospital and had surgery and didn't know what happened to them. They were asleep. They don't know if they came out of the hospital and somewhere in the back of their neck or somewhere under their arm or somewhere, doctor put a chip in there. Put a microchip in there. You can do it with your pets. You find your pets. If you lose your pet, just go on the internet and pick up that chip and find, and they're going to track you. They're going to track you with that chip that's in your hand. I don't know. I don't know about that. I may have three or four in me. I don't know. I sleep soundly enough without being put under anesthetic. I sleep soundly enough that they could put one in me while I was asleep. I mean, you know, I wouldn't know. But the mark of the beast is not something you get accidentally. Mark of the beast is not something somebody slips up on you. The mark of the beast is an identity of worship. It's an acceptance that I will worship that one. I will worship him. And I accept in my hand or in my forehead his mark. And, you know, there was a time in some Arab countries, the Arab license plates all began with 666 in Jordan. I think it was in Jordan. All the license plates in at least a particular section of that country began with 666. Whenever I was associate pastor in Atlanta, at Forest Hills Baptist Church, I went to get my tags renewed. And whenever I got my tag, the guy handed it across the counter to me, and I looked at it, and it's the only license plate number I've ever remembered, but it was LFH666. Now, I took a lot of hassle over that from people at the church, and so I just said, what that LFH stands for is left for him. I'll just leave it for him, okay? And I took a lot of static for having the license number 666. I really took a lot of static for that. And whenever the guy handed it to me, he said, do you want another number? I said, nah, that's all right. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me a bit. I'm not identified with him. I'm not accepting his mark. I'm getting a license plate to drive down the road. I'm not worshiping the Antichrist whenever that happens. Now, I must tell you also, whenever I went away to Bible college, the Bible college we went to was very small at that time. And we had about 750 students, I think, something like that, about 750 students in the college. And we all checked into chapel. It was not now, you know, they have little cards and ID. And you had to go to chapel. Every day you had to go to chapel. And so you checked in at a particular door, and they had certain numbers at that door, and you had to go in that door, check, and they checked your number off whenever you went in. You told them your number, and you went in. And we always wanted to know who had 666. We always wanted to know who that was. those things are things of interest because that's just, we don't know. And whenever we don't know and we don't have comprehension of that, it's, you know, what's it going to be? Is it going to be some kind of a tattoo in your hand, in your forehead? Is it going to be a chip in your hand? Now we know those kinds of things. Man, now you got a little chip in your credit card. They got that little thing on your credit card, and they say it's safer, more secure that way. And then somebody comes along and says that somebody can walk by your wallet with a magnet and pick up that credit card number with a magnet of some kind. I don't know. Somebody gave me a little protector that you could put your credit card in so the magnet wouldn't pick it up on that. I've never used it because it's too big for my pocket. I don't like too much in my pocket. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Lord. Somebody says, aren't you afraid to go to Israel? Nah. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I feel what the Lord has for me to do. I've arranged it and followed his will and prayed and sought God's will about that, you know. I'm not going to live all my life in fear. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to lean to my understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. Let him direct my paths. If he's directing my paths, and the airplane I'm flying in crashes, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Becky, you can sue the airlines, okay? But I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'm all right. Not worried about that at all. Driving down the highway today, man, the lanes were merging together around that accident. And I looked to my left, and there was a guy in an old pickup truck. I promise you, he was not that far from my left side. I mean, I could put my arm out the window and put my palm on the side of his car. Scared me to death. And I mean, windows rolled down, back windows knocked out of it. Before I knew what was happening, I had my window down yelling at him. And he could hear every word, too. I didn't cuss, I promise, I didn't cuss. But I said, you want to go to jail? I said, I'll see to it you're in jail. I don't know how I do that, but I like to say it anyhow. Now, I'll not say this, but I'm into this, and I'm tired, and, you know, whenever you get tired, you just say anything, you know, whenever you get tired. We got on down the road, and Becky didn't know this. We got on, I didn't say anything to her about it, but I looked in my rearview mirror, and here he came. He was coming right up the road after me. I got straddle of the white line. I said, whichever side he goes to, I'm going to cut him off. Whichever way he goes, I'm going to cut him off. He backed off and went off the exit or something. I don't know. Whatever. How in the world did I get there? Mark of the beast. Man of sin. The man of sin. I think you're going to have to make a willful decision to take that. Now, whenever it comes to this passage, God will give them strong delusion. People who have heard the gospel in this day, whenever the Holy Spirit is taken from this earth, and I believe he leaves with believers when they leave, whenever the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is taken away, they'll line up like waiting to get into a ball game to say, yeah, I want that. Put that right here on me. That's what I want. I want to identify with that guy. He's my guy. I want him. I want him. I vote for him to be God. I believe that's the way the mark of the beast. I don't think anybody's going to sneak the mark of the beast in on you. Okay? Don't believe they're going to do that. God won't let that happen. If they put something in that identifies you like that, God will take care of that too. God knows how to take care of that. Okay? Verse 5. He said, now I want you to remember this. I'm going to quit right here at verse 5. He says, don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Wow. Wouldn't you like to know everything he told them? Wouldn't you like to just, I mean, here we have a few verses. I mean, really, he talks down through here in verses 3 and 4, and he talks about these things. Let no man deceive you by any means, that they shall not come except to come falling away. Literally, a going away first, and man of sin, be revealed, son of perdition, who exalted himself. He said, don't you remember I told you these things? Now, here in those few words, he has said to them, I'm reminding you of everything I taught you when I was there in Thessalonica. Wouldn't you like to have heard all of that? I think a lot of our questions would be answered. But God didn't see fit to tell us that. He wrote down enough that we know to prepare for his coming. Not the coming of the Antichrist. We're not looking for the coming of the Antichrist. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're not told to look for the coming of the Antichrist. We're told to look for our Lord from heaven. That's who we're looking for. But wouldn't you like to have all that information? Of course you would. It would be wonderful to have. But he gave us enough so that we can doctrinally get everything right if we study it out. And anything that we may get wrong, if we're pursuing the will of God and the heart of God and the mind of God and staying in the Word of God, he'll make up for everything that's lacking in our lives. Just don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you. Do you see, if we heard on the news right now, and they showed pictures on the news right now, of how under cover of darkness, they have built this place of worship for the Jews on the Temple Mount. On the Temple Mount, they've built this place of worship. And the Jews are thronging onto the Temple Mount. And Iran is going crazy. And the Palestinians are beside themselves. They're throwing more rocks than they ever thought they could throw. Gaza is firing rockets. But the Temple Mount is flooded with Jews going there to worship. And the people of the Temple Institute have taken in there their version of the Ark of the Covenant. And they have the trumpets and they have the harps, and the priest is there in his garment, and they're offering sacrifice on the altar that they've prepared, and it's all done. They could do it overnight if they had a building to put it in. They could do it overnight. You know what you're going to think? You're going to think the same thing these people thought. The same thing that people of Thessalonica thought. We've missed the coming of the Lord. We've missed it. No. No. His word's going to be true. Don't give up on God. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. It may be tomorrow. It may be today. Maybe the trumpets sound. Maybe the angels shout. Then come up higher, the Savior will say, oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Now I want you to pray. I want you to pray for Sunday. I want you to pray right now for Sunday. Now I'm perfectly happy if the Lord comes before Sunday. I'm perfectly happy with that. The Lord willing, and Elliot Hodges is able to be here. He and I are going to sing Sunday. We're going to sing the Grand Homecoming Week. The Grand Homecoming. We call it Homecoming and Anniversary Sunday. The Grand Homecoming Week. And I don't know whether you'll be able to be here or not. And I don't know whether I'll be able to talk or not. But much less sing. But it will be a grand homecoming week the first 10,000 years. Don't live in fear. Don't say, oh, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come. That's what's going to happen. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word that you have everything under control. That nothing's happening in our country that takes you by surprise. Nothing's happening in the Middle East that takes you by surprise. Anywhere in the world, nothing's happening that takes you by surprise. Why should I fear, Lord, whenever you hold tomorrow and you hold me? And that's true of every one of us. I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for the day on Sunday. Lord Jesus, we've worked and we've prepared and we have prayed. We've sought your will. We've prayed over an order of service. We've prayed over the songs to be sung. We've prayed over the special music. We've prayed over the preacher to invite to come to be a part of this special day with us. And I pray you'll bless him in a very special way. Bless Brother Pitts as he comes to be here with us. Oh, Lord, may he be in perfect voice. I pray that the choir will do well and all the specials from our church here. And Father, that the meal will just be absolutely wonderful. And everyone will just have a great time. Enjoy each other and enjoy you. And enjoy being in church and being eager to enter into our 20th year. What a day. May it be a good time together. We need you, Lord. We need your presence. I pray, Father, for the effectiveness of the letters. I pray, Lord, that some people that have not planned to come will just sort of see that letter laying there on the table and pick it up and look at it, and they'll think we ought to go, and let's go, and they'll be here. Lord, I pray it will be a great crowd, not just for this church, but for your glory and for you to work in hearts and lives. I pray all of us now will not quit this close to the finish, but that we'll go right on, invite others, and just urge people to be here and have a good day. Bless these dear folks, Lord. I thank you for a good week this week. What a blessed time in the fellowship meeting. How our hearts were challenged. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what we felt and what we experienced, what we witnessed you do. Now, Lord, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross, that we could be saved and have eternal life and a home in heaven. Thank you for that. Thank you for the young people being in here with us tonight, Lord. Thank you for their participation in the service. And I ask you to bless them in a very special way. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's work. Tomorrow, Saturday, invite people. Be here clean. All those things. Amen.